Turn with me, if you would, to Psalms 102, 102nd Psalm. We're beginning a new sermon series. I'll talk about that in a moment, but I want to, as we read this 102nd Psalm, or a portion of it, I want to remind you, as if you open up your Bible and you go to the very beginning, go to Genesis 1, the first verse says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And I want to kind of back that out just a little bit and back a few words out at a time. So, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God. Hello. You know, just those first few words tells us a lot as Christians. Beginning in Psalms 102, that Genesis kind of sets the stage for us as we begin this new series. Beginning in Psalms 102, beginning in verse 25. The psalmist says, "In the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end." Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we ask you to come in power in your Holy Spirit. We ask you to speak in power and authority, and to stir our hearts and to change our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to learn a lesson from the chicken egg this morning. Now, this is a normal chicken egg. This is a brown chicken egg. We got it from a brown chicken. And my wife has been getting eggs from a lady that works in our Mother's Day Out program that raises chickens, and she's been getting those here lately. And so we have a brown chicken egg this morning. But other than that, it's a pretty normal chicken egg. So we want to learn a little bit about the chicken egg this morning. Basically, as we all know, if you've ever eating an egg, you understand that there's three main parts to an egg: the shell, and the yolk, and the egg white, which is I believe you pronounce it albumin. Is that, somebody knows? Is that how you pronounce that? Hey, I'm good. Now the shell of a chicken egg has approximately 10,000 little pores, little holes in the eggshell. You may not have known that. We'll get into just a moment what those are about. If this chicken egg really had been fertilized and there were a chick in there, there would be four vessels attached to the chicken that would, two of those vessels would come out and would go to the yolk, and that is to get the food source for the chick. And then there would be two other of the vessels going to the outer membrane for air. Now, the outer membrane, how many of you have boiled an egg, and as you crack the egg and you begin to peel it, you have that little fine layer around the egg? You know that? Now, contrary to popular beliefs, that's not there to make the egg easier to peel. There's a reason for that membrane. This membrane is where the chick, the two of those vessels are attached to that membrane, and the chick will pull in oxygen through the pores in the shell, and it'll come through those two vessels that are attached to that outer membrane, and it'll feed oxygen to the chick, and then the chick is able to expel carbon dioxide also through the membrane, and then it's expelled out of the eggshell. This is probably more than you ever wanted to know about a chicken egg. Now, on the 19th day of the incubation period for the chick, the chick begins to have such a need for oxygen that it cannot receive enough oxygen through the pores in the shell and through these vessels in the outer membrane. And so the chick has this special egg tooth, is what it's called, on its beak. And it begins to peck through the outer membrane at one end of the egg. It's always the same end of the egg. And it begins to peck a hole into this membrane. And it gives it, now if you notice when you boil an egg, there's a flat end. You ever notice that? I know some of you slower people. There's a flat end. Now, that's not so that you can stand your egg, you know, on the counter while you slice it. That's not what that is for. The chick uses this egg tooth and picks through the outer membrane into that little hollowed area, and it gets 6 more hours of air from this little hollow area because there's air in there. And those 6 hours gives the chick enough time to then peck through the shell and hatch. I wonder how long it took the hen to come up with this system. What do you think? A few million years or a few thousand? How many years? Friends in Christ, we as Christians, we do not have to be intimidated by science. Somebody say amen, please. Amen. We do not have to be intimidated by science and by nature. All you have to do is look at the chicken egg and go, how'd God do that? Who else could have done that? The chicken egg demonstrates that God is a God of order. See, random, purposeless, mindless forces that some of our culture would have us believe is what's going on in our universe, this random, purposeless, mindless forces should produce random, purposeless, mindless objects. But that's not what we have, is it? We have the chicken egg. And we haven't even started talking about other things more complex than the chicken egg. But that's what the chicken egg displays to us, that God is a creator of order. And God's Word says in 1 Corinthians 14 that God is not a God of disorder. And Job 25 says that dominion and all belong to God. He establishes order in the heavens, in the heights of heaven. I want you to just take a quick look at this DVD, just a quick little snip here of the different types of order that God creates, if they can cue it up for us. God awesome or what? You see, random, purposeless, mindless forces should produce random, purposeless, mindless objects. That's not what we have in this world. We want to begin this series. I wanted to begin this series that God is, and we're going to talk about so many different, I mean, and I tell you, I could preach a sermon on God is and put a word in there. I could preach 10 years and not even scratch the surface of who God is and the things that He has accomplished and the things that He has accomplished on our behalf. But we're going to do that for a few weeks, and we're going to start that off with God is creator. because that's where it all begins, that God is our creator. And we want to look just at a few things that this idea of God being creator, what that means to us. If he's truly creator, if he really has spun the stars on his finger, if that's really who God is, if he's created the chicken egg, what does that mean to us? First thing, creation declares that God is great. Creation declares that God is great. Who else can do what God has done? I mean, who else can do that? Listen to Psalms 95. The Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Do we have any idea who we serve? Do we have any idea? Do we get so caught up in our daily life and stuff, don't we, that we forget that God is awesome. He is great. He's big. And that we should respond to him. And here's our response. Our response should be that God is great. Our response should be awe and worship. I mean, it should boggle our minds who we come here this morning to worship. But too many times in worship, and I'm talking about all of the church, too many times in worship, it's about what we receive rather than what we are giving. Worship, and just look at the name worship, it means for us to worship something. It doesn't mean for us to be fed. It doesn't mean for us to receive and to like the music and to like the sermon and for, you know, like the color of the carpet and you know, it's not too many times it's about us, but worship is about worshiping and in being in awe of this creator God who is awesome, who is great. Psalms 95 again, the psalmist says, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. In Isaiah, when the prophet Isaiah found himself face to face with the Lord, and there were angels flying around, and the angels were crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, the whole earth is full of his glory. And Isaiah finds himself in this moment where he's seeing this, and the train of the Lord's robe, it rolls out, and he's just in awe of this. And look at his first response. Here's what he said. He said, woe to me, I cried, I am ruined. The conviction that Isaiah had that he was in the presence of Almighty God. Do we ever find ourselves there? It's like, God, you're just so good, and you're so great, and you're so big, and yet you are mindful of me. And Isaiah found himself convicted, and he felt undone before the majesty of God. And in Revelation, the Apostle John had this revelation, and Christ himself is revealed to him, and he finds himself standing before the Lord. And here's what he said: I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Do we do that? You ever felt like that? Maybe it's because we haven't taken time to just really understand that God is great. That he flings the stars in the sky. And I'll tell you, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll back up a little bit. So we understand that our response to the fact that God, Creator, is great, is our response is awe and worship. The second thing, when creation declares that God is God. Now, I like something that Pastor Hood from our Carver friend, he he says sometimes that God is God and we're not. And I like that. Romans chapter 1 says that for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. You know, those that are not in Christ, Scripture tells us that no one's without excuse, because God has shown who he is through what he has created. Who else can do that? And I tell you, I forget who it was. I think it was C.S. Lewis said that it takes more faith to be an atheist than it does to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Because you just look at our world. You look at the chicken egg, and you look at the stars in the sky, and you just look at wildlife, and you look at, we're learning more and more about our bodies and genetics and DNA and all of this stuff, and we're getting smart. And I tell Cheryl all the time, we're getting too big for our britches, because one of these days God's going to go, okay, you guys think y'all got it all figured out? Let me show you who I am. God is God, and his invisible qualities have been understood from the very beginning because of what he has created. Again in Isaiah chapter 45, for this is what the Lord says, he who created the heavens, he is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, he founded it, and he did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord, there is no other. God is God, and we're not him. Our response, if we understand that God is God, that creation tells us that, our response should be submission. Submission to him. Picking up where I just left off in Isaiah 45, Isaiah says, turn to me, God himself says through Isaiah, turn to me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Before me every knee will bow and every tongue will swear. Now, if this also is spoken of Christ in Philippians 2. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. If we understand that God is God through his creation, that explains that to us, our response should be submission to this God of creation. And finally, creation, church, declares God's glory. The heavens declare, in Psalms 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Have you ever done that? Have you ever just gone out on a clear night and looked up at the stars? I had a guy a long time ago. I'd forgotten this, but he told this story, and he told this story about how he was talking to this man one time and had built a new home, and he was showing him through his house. Look at this. This is my new home, and he's really impressed with his new home, and the man. Finally, that night, he got that guy who'd been showing him his house, and he went outside, and he said, look up in the stars. And the guy looked up, and he said, that's under God's house. That's in his basement. I love that. That's under, okay, maybe you didn't get that. I liked it anyway. Creation declares God's glory. Our response, church, is to praise him and to bring him glory. Psalm 96, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Is that how we live our lives, church? I mean, when people see us, Christ, as it tells us in God's Word, are we Christ's ambassadors? Are we declaring His glory with our life? Are we declaring His glory through the way we treat others? A few weeks ago in May, early May, Cheryl and I got the opportunity. Our conference sent us on a retreat it wasn't a marriage retreat, but it was a replenishing retreat. They're trying to do that for the pastors in the conference, and we got a chance. It was in Colorado. We got a chance to go to Pikes Peak. How many of you have been to Pikes Peak? It's one of the taller peaks in the U.S. It's over 14,000 feet, and the facility that we were at when we and I hope Cheryl, I don't think Cheryl will mind me sharing this. When we walked into the retreat center, they had this big living room where we would be conducting a lot of our seminars and stuff. And there was this big, kind of like our church, there was big picture windows, just all the whole back wall was windows. And when we walked in the door, there was Pikes Peak, and snow-capped. And we walked in, and Cheryl got emotional just walking in the room and seeing Pikes Peak. The heavens declare His glory. And we got an opportunity later in the week to ride the cog train. Anybody rode the cog train up to Pikes Peak? So we rode it up, and that was, boy, I'll tell you, that was an experience. When we got up on top, it was minus eight degrees was the temperature, and it was crazy. I mean, we rode the cog train. It took us like 3 hours to ride the cog train, and we got out, and we kind of stood out there, and we were like, oh, okay, this is not. And we went inside, and you know, it's like just walking from the train into the gift shop. You know, you had little icicles hanging on your nose. It's just making a little 30-second walk. But we did manage to get out and to see the view, and it was just extraordinary. And most people, if you haven't been there, don't know this, but the song "America the Beautiful" was penned by a lady named Catherine Lee Bates in 1895, and she was inspired to write that great hymn from looking down from Pikes Peak, looking at God's majesty. I want to just read the first verse and chorus of that song. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. She understood that God Himself, that created these mountains, this mountain range, and these beautiful scenes, she understood that it was God's grace that He had shed on our nation that made us a great nation. And somehow I think that we can forget that and have forgotten that in many cases. Church, do we understand that God is our Creator? And He has created us. God's Word in Genesis, it tells us that He created mankind in His image. In His image. Now, that's a whole other sermon talking about what that means. But what I want to say about that is sin has mangled that a little bit. And the image that kind of came to my mind, it's like if you have this beautiful automobile, and you can put your whatever type of automobile you want to picture it as, and it's just this beautiful, it rolls right off the showroom floor, and it's the designers, the creators have made that in a certain image and with a certain function and all these things. And let's say that automobile is just a few weeks later is in a traffic accident, and it just kind of mangles it up. There's still the image of what the Creator's made is still there, but something has mangled it. Well, what's mangled it for us is sin. And we've kind of been talking about it through Jordan's prayer today and Carlene's sermon, and what Lori had to say at the first is that, and we're a broken people. And we need to go back to the Creator and ask Him to heal us, to heal our land. But to heal our land starts with healing us. We need to go back to our Creator and confess to Him, and like Isaiah did, and say, "Woe is me, I am ruined. I'm a man," he went on to say, "I'm a man of unclean lips, and I'm living in a land of people with unclean lips." And he understood that this God was big and he was great, and we should worship him and submit to him and praise him and glorify him. That's the challenge before us today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that even though you are this awesome creator, that you are mindful of us. And not only are you mindful of us, but you actually sent your Son to redeem us, to take what was broken and mangled and to make us whole. And so, Lord, we thank you that that's who you are, and that's what you have done for us. And now, Father, for those this morning that need to embrace that, need to understand that you are truly the God of wonders, that you are the God of wonders beyond our galaxy, as we sang earlier, and you are holy, and the universe declares your majesty. And we cry, "Holy, holy, holy." Father, thank you for being our loving creator. In Jesus' name, amen. We will stand, if you're able, as we close this morning. I'll be up front if you would like to come and pray or would like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm always available for that. So let's stand as we close.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a Lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost a way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost a way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne.
God created, and when he created you, he said, "It is very good." Go and share that with someone. Tell someone. In Jesus' name, be blessed. We are dismissed.
God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy.